Not the boring, generic, milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I describe him as the best, obviously.
Cattles.
He throws it out there. Speaks his mind. That's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
Kings out of timeouts. They use their last one for the challenge. Fox advances the dribble across the logo. 5 seconds to go. It's all on his shoulders. Fox rocks. He fires for the win. He's got the triple. 0.7 seconds remaining. A three-point shot will be reviewed. It's not over yet, but fourth quarter Fox has come through one more time.
All right, so here's the true test. Rami, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Nick Cattles, live from Las Vegas.
I can hear you faintly. I can hear you faintly on my wife's computer, but I can hear you. I can hear the station. As long as you can hear me, I think we can actually pull this thing off from
there
Vegas.
There we go. There we go. Let's go. Let's do a show. Fired up after that one last night, Nick. Let's go. Let's do this. By the way, whoever keeps messing with this mic here, you better stop it. This thing is floppy, loose, all over the place. Deuce, Carmichael, Dave, Chris, all you guys, stop it. It's ridiculous.
Oh man, see? Now you're feeling my pain. You're feeling my pain on the microphone. It's gonna drive you crazy.
Actually, no, I just fixed it. It's good. We're good. Let's go.
Yeah. I know. Well, Rami, games come in all different forms, my man. And I'll tell you that game last night in the first half, it was a fist fight. It was a different type of game we're not used to for the Kings. The Kings offense was sputtering. It felt like one of those old school 1985 games for the Kings offense through that first half. In the first half, Rami, they shot 45% from the field. They shot 31.6% from three-point land. And if that wasn't bad enough, they also had 10 turnovers in that game last night. In the first half alone, I don't know how you felt, but when I was actually watching this game at halftime and the Kings were only down by 10, I felt like they were incredibly fortunate.
Oh, I had 9 turnovers in the first half. It was 10? You're telling me it was 10 in the first half?
That's what I saw.
Yeah, that was ugly. It was an ugly first half, but Nick, it wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't sloppy basketball, because some of it was sloppiness and was them not being careful enough with the basketball. But also, I mean, the Bulls were making it tough on them. They were playing pretty good defense, and I think the Bulls knew. Because, man, that has not been a very good basketball team this year. And they knew that if they had any chance against Sacramento and the highest scoring offense in the league last night, they were going to have to muck it up. They were going to have to muddy it up and slow it down. And they did a really good job of that in the first half. I don't love the way that the Kings responded to that, but it wasn't a bunch of missed open shots that the Kings had in the first half. The Bulls were just playing tough defense and, like I said, mucking it up and slowing it down, and that can give the Kings some problems sometimes.
You know, that was one of the things we talked about yesterday on the show, Rami. You know, Chicago, they have a losing record. A lot of people probably thought, oh, this one might be easy. I warned you yesterday when we talked about this game that the Chicago Bulls are the fifth best defense in the NBA in defensive rating. Yeah. They're going to make you work. And let's think about this. You mentioned it on the show as well yesterday. The Bulls did not have Alex Caruso, who was a really, really good defender. The fact that they could play that good a defense in the first half without Caruso tells you how good of a defense that is they have in Chicago. And I thought they were also very physical. Here was Coach Brown last night talking about preparing for that physicality.
The worry that you have is if you don't bring physicality in the playoffs, you could be in trouble. You know, if you show up to a playoff game and you don't take every possession like it's their last, like it's your last one, and your lackadaisical out there, you could be in trouble. So the two games that I said, hey, we're going to take the win, you know, but here's some things we can clean up. It's just me telling the truth about the way we played. And those two types of things for sure can't happen come playoff time. And so our guys have to feel it, be aware of it, and try to correct it, you know, going forward.
Be aware of it. Try to correct it going forward. Understand the physicality is going to happen. And Rami, this is, you know, I would say four games in a row, really, when you look back at what's happened with this team, the physicality has been there against them. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that when you look at that, those last four games, you know, you've got some really quality wins.
Yep.
When you have been tested from a physical standpoint,
they're showing something that we asked to see throughout the season, Nick. And as we're trying to figure out who this Kings team is and what they can be in the postseason, which is finding different ways to win, being versatile in the way that you can win. And when it's not pretty and it's not that fast moving, high paced, get a million shots up type of game, are you going to be able to at the very least, which is what they did last night, stay in it? You know what I mean? And stay in the fight, keep it close, keep it competitive until you do get it going, until maybe you wear them down or tire them out, and you can start doing a little bit more of what you want to do and play your style and your pace as the game goes on. But it's encouraging to see that when they have these games, and even the one that they lost against the Bucks, they didn't back down from that. And that playing that style of game didn't seem to completely, you know, take them off the tracks or off the rails altogether. They stayed in that game for the entirety of it, even when the Bucks gave them some of their best shots. And like you said, Nick, that was a good defensive Bulls basketball team. They don't do a lot well in Chicago, but that's a good defensive basketball team that the Bulls got, and the Bucks, they answered the call. Again, something I keep saying about this team throughout the season, they answer the call more times than not. And then, of course, De'Aaron Fox did what he did.
On track.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that they stayed on track. Cattles and Rami here, Sacktown Sports on a Thursday. Cattles from Vegas, Rami back in the home base in Sacramento. You know, they did not press in the second half. They didn't rush anything. They didn't freak out. They had to go against that physical, tough defense. And I was happy that they came out in the third quarter and played the right way. And they did not show any kind of pressing or any kind of worry or any kind of panic, which means an awful lot. Let's get to De'Aaron Fox. Speaking of meaning an awful lot, my freaking word, De'Aaron Fox, he does it again. And I thought this was interesting. Here was Domas sitting down with Shams Charania and De'Aaron Fox this week talking about Fox late in games.
Mr. Clutch, in the fourth quarter, you know, I always tell everyone we're not here where we are without him. You know, there's been countless games, every game where he just takes over in the fourth. Either we can't manage to do a full game how we want, you know, and in the fourth quarter, if the game's always tied, you know, he takes over, you know, 6 minutes left, 8 minutes less, you know, he just does his thing, makes everyone better, you know. His confidence kind of rubs off on all of us, and it gives it to us, you know. So I just feel like at the end of those games, you know, we just all feel a lot more calm, and, like, we're not worried. Like, we're down four or something with, like, a minute and a half left. We're like, we still got this. Like, we're going to get a stop. We're going to score for sure, and then give the ball to him, and he does the rest.
You know what's weird,
Nick?
Domas
isn't much of a soothsayer, right? I mean,
what's weird about that, sorry about that, and that might happen a few times today with us being in different locations, but what's crazy about that is I saw that clip before the show. I saw that I was sitting at home in between getting off work and the game starting, and I saw that clip before the show, and it was in my head as De'Aaron Fox is coming down the court with the ball and about to shoot the game winner, as it turned out to be, because he was so calm walking the ball up. We were watching it together, a bunch of us, the whole gang. Well, almost the whole gang was out there last night watching it at a local establishment. And I don't know if it was JJ. Somebody was like, "Why? Hurry up!" or something. Somebody was like, "Why are you walking?"
That was me.
Was it you? But he was just so cool, so calm, walking it up, pops it, and then walks away telling people, "I'm nice." It was weird that I saw that Domas clip, and then De'Aaron Fox ended that game the way that he ended that game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, ice water in the veins, my man. Yep. And that's what this young man has. We've seen it time and time and time again in the fourth quarter. He did it again last night. He scored, what, 15 points in the fourth? It's the same old, same old. I mentioned this, I think it was last week, how beautifully predictable this basketball team is. And again, we'll talk about Domas in a few minutes. He did what he does, just la-di-da, another triple-dub. And then you've got Fox scoring 15 in the fourth quarter and just ending the game on a three as he walks into it. And I think that was a message to everybody. That's my all NBA bid, right? I mean, I'm an all NBA player. I'm going to continue to prove this. And the most impressive thing, Rami, about what Fox does in the fourth quarter is the fact that everybody knows. Yep. Everybody in that arena knows the basketball is going to be in his hands. In that moment, everybody knew. Now, you could question whether or not Billy Donovan should have blitzed Fox and got the basketball out of his hands and doubled him, but he didn't. That's his bad, and Fox made him pay.
And it was – and, Nick, be honest for a second. As confident as we've all been and come to be in De'Aaron Fox – when that shot went up, did you think it was going in? Because when it went up, I know it was JJ that said this. JJ was sitting right next to me. When it went up, JJ goes, terrible shot.
Terrible. Lucky.
Just terrible shot. And then the whole place erupted as it rattled into the rim and through the net.
Yep.
Simone ran clear out of the bar, out the door.
True.
That's my out favorite the door, move. Down the block. She was gone. I don't think a lot of people thought that one was going in. And if we're being honest, if we're being
he
real.
He didn't know, Robin.
No, he didn't think. I don't think he thought it was going in, Nick. It wasn't the greatest shot selection, if we're being real. It's a great day for Kings fans, and we're here to celebrate it. We celebrated it last night, but that wasn't the greatest of shot selections by De'Aaron Fox, if we're being real, right?
I mean, look, I couldn't care less if I thought he was going to make it or not. The right guy took the shot. He walked into the shot. I will say, at least he had some momentum into that shot. It wasn't a step back. It wasn't a sidestep three. It wasn't a three that was, you know, heavily contested to the point where you'd question why he took it. He made it, and that's what counts. And again, this is what that guy does. I was watching the game in a Mexican joint about 2 minutes off the strip last night at a high top table on Kelly's tablet, and I try to not erupt in the middle of the play so nobody would like look at me and go, "What the hell's wrong with that guy?" But just a tremendous shot, a tremendous moment, and again. The Kings, man, with another W. We'll get your thoughts on this game. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number, of course, is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget our website, sacktownsports.com. You can also visit us on YouTube. Many people watching right now. And if you're there, please give us the thumbs up. I mean, I'm doing the show from Vegas today. Please give me the thumbs up on that. YouTube.com.
This man is working in Vegas. For you. You know what I'm saying? For you. He's working in Vegas. And by the way, speaking of, Nick, you could have lost your – you're in Vegas. You could have lost your mind at that table. People are losing their mind left and right for no good reason, for less of a reason than you watching the game on your tablet. You know what I mean? You don't have to be reserved or worry about the people around you when you're in Vegas. You go there to not worry about anything or anyone going on around
you're
you.
You're never
going to
see them people ever again in life. You put your feet up on the table, Nick.
The place wasn't like where we were at because it was a little bit later and it was a little off the strip and it's a Wednesday night. It wasn't hopping. It had some people in there, but it was a little bit more quiet than your usual, which what I'll see after this show ends at 3 o'clock, not that I'm counting down or anything. The next couple days, I'm sure I'll see plenty of madness. But yeah, it was a good time nonetheless. All right, coming up in 90 seconds, Domas does it again, and what a freaking third quarter from this basketball team.
Cattles and Robbie. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
Your afternoon home for Kings talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
Sure is, and time to check out Coastside Medical Clinic, who's dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Nick Cattles, live from Las Vegas. Ladies and gentlemen, Cattles and Rami, talking some Kings with you. Domas just did it again last night, Nick, and I'm going to be honest with you. Now, granted, we were out at an establishment. These things can slip by you at an establishment, but this seems to slip by me often when Domas is putting up triple-doubles. I turn around at the end of the game and I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a triple-double, isn't it? And this time, Nick, I didn't even realize it until this morning. This man puts up the quietest, most effortless, most just fly under the radar triple doubles that I think anybody does with 14 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists last night. It almost goes I hate to say it, unappreciated, but he makes it look so easy. He makes it look so easy, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous. As I mentioned, I don't want to get too much into my travel story because we don't have a lot of time to burn here, but it was a little bit of a nightmare last night, and I was able to watch the first three quarters at the airport as my flight kept getting delayed. Dang, I kept getting delayed. Dang. Did you get delayed, Nick, last night? Dang right, about three or four times. So I was able to watch the first three quarters at the airport bar hanging out with Kelly. And then we flew to Vegas, and then was able to grab her tablet, as I said, as we ran out of the hotel room when we put our stuff down to go out grab a bite to eat. And it was late in the game, and he was at the free throw line. And Katie mentioned that he had a triple-double, and they showed it underneath him. I'm like, what? Like, I had no idea that Domas had a triple-double. And that's, I mean, I don't want to say we take it for granted, but really he sneaks up on you. We'll continue the Domas talk in a minute. But, Rami, I did want to bring this up because I know a lot of fans might have questions. The NBA's last two-minute report has finally come out.
Oh.
And the NBA says that HB did indeed foul DeMar DeRozan on that three-point attempt that resulted in that four-point play. So the NBA two-minute review says that that was a foul on HB. Not that it matters because you won the game, but I know a lot of people were wondering what the league would say. That's what the league said. But back to the triple-double, Rami, here's something that the Kings tweeted out today. Domas' last five games, he's averaged 19.4 points, 13 rebounds, 10 dimes a game. He is the fifth player to average 19, 13, and 10 over a five-game span since the NBA-ABA merger, joining Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Nikola Jokic, and Russell Westbrook.
That's good company right there. You're doing something right, usually, if you find yourself in the company of those gentlemen that you just racked off there to me. That, man, that's insane. And like I said, Nick, the craziest part about it is how I don't know, we don't even notice it happening while it's happening. I don't know if that says something about us, if that says something about his game, but man, he just night in and night out, this guy's automatic. He's automatic, and you know that's four out of the last five games he has a triple-double, man. Every night he's either going to get or flirt with a triple-double while you're running your offense through him, and he's bringing the ball up the court probably about half your possessions as your center. You can't measure what Domas Sabonis does for this basketball team just in triple doubles. The guy is just insane. It's just insane, man. It's crazy.
Here was Fox on his teammate last night.
Oh, we talk about this all the time, man. He does so much for us, and I mean, his approach to the game is just very steady. Obviously, you're not going to have a great game every time out, but even when he's not having good games, obviously he's going to grab 15 boards. He's going to score 15 points. Obviously, he has the ball in his hands a lot. He creates for us so much, even if, you know, the turnovers are high some games. He still creates so much offense for us. So, I mean, we ride him for a majority of the game, and then obviously in the fourth quarter, I think my scoring really helps us.
Now, Domas obviously was a major reason why the Kings won that game last night. Fox was as well. We've talked about the two studs being studs in Chicago. But another reason why they won this game last night, Rami, was that third quarter. That third quarter was really, really, really good. 37-22 in favor of the Kings. And I thought what the Kings did really well was they let kind of Chicago try to beat them from three. And they kind of allowed them to take those threes and settle for those threes. And in some cases, forced them to take threes. We mentioned yesterday on the show that the Bulls are down towards the bottom of the league in three-pointers attempted. They just don't take a ton of threes. Chicago shot 2 of 10 from three in that quarter. I also thought the Kings picked up their half-court pace. They had 8 assists on 10 field goals, which is just tremendous. And, of course, Malik Monk gave you a boost with 11 points. But I thought, Rami, really the difference of the game, obviously, you win by a bucket in the final seconds. You outscore them by 15 in that third quarter. That was the quarter coming out of the half that these guys showed the urgency. They played great basketball, and they made that jump ahead.
Yeah, Nick, and this goes back to something we talked about to start the show. This goes back to something we talked about throughout the season. First of all, in terms of winning games that aren't necessarily played in your style or your pace, while it wasn't a game that was played at their style or their pace, one thing you can do and you can control when that's happening is force them into shots they don't necessarily want to be taking on the defensive end. That's a very good thing to show. And also, I think that, you know, sometimes we talked about, man, there have been so many articles written about the Kings by every outlet nationally everywhere. So I'm having a hard time remembering which one it was. Actually, I think it was Zach Lowe who was saying that their defense on some level has been the victim of just some bad luck and shots falling in at rates at which they don't normally fall in against other teams and their defenses. When you can force teams into bad shots more times than not, they're not gonna fall at the rate that they're hoping. They're not gonna fall at a rate to where they can win or they can outscore you on a given night. And that's one of those things where you look at it and you go, maybe the defense isn't as bad as it's looked at times this year, because you are forcing teams into bad shots, and sometimes teams just hit bad shots. It's the NBA. It's a make or miss league. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do want to jump back to Domas for a second and just mention, because this is something I keep paying attention to, and we have discussed this a number of times. Domas played 40 minutes last night. That's 40 hard minutes. He played 39 minutes the game before. You're on the second day of a back-to-back. You're playing Brooklyn today. You know, 40 minutes on the front of that back-to-back, you almost have to win that game playing Domas as much as you did last night, and thankfully the Kings did. Chemezi Metu, 0 rebounds in 8 minutes. Yeah. Not going to get it done. One more thing I would also say is Domas, the last 2 games, 3 free throw attempts. What the hell's going on? I mean, what officiating is not good in the NBA as we know it, but there's really no reason for Domas, that the physicality that he plays with, to not have more than, you know, 3 free throw attempts in 2 games. That's outrageous.
He did only have 10 field goal attempts, and this is really nitpicky when a guy has a triple-double and you won the way you did yesterday. We have talked at times throughout the season, Nick, about we'd like to see Domas be a little more assertive and maybe putting up 13, 14, 15 shots a game. 10 is just a few too few for me, and he's also not going to get to the line that often when he's only taking that few shots.
That's a great point. It's a really good point. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. The website is sacktownsports.com. The app, don't forget the app, Sacktown Sports 1140. You can listen to us from anywhere. Also, hello to our friends in the YouTube world, youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. I see a bunch of you, Alan Diamond, Cole G, Tin Lamb, TCG, all of you rocking in the YouTube page and channel and chat. And it's youtube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Make sure you give us that thumbs up. It'd be much appreciated. A lot happened in the West last night. We're going to cover it all coming up next.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. Sacktown Sports.
Headlines.
Let's hit the headline with no loop this time. It's Simone Rickford with your Sacktown Sports headlines. With 6.6 left in a tie game, De'Aaron Fox went ahead and introduced the crowd in Chicago to Mr. Clutch.
Fox rocks. He fires for the win. He's got the triple!
Kings celebrated the final score of 117-114, a victory that put them back into the second seed in the Western Conference following the Memphis Grizzlies' loss to the Miami Heat. No time like the present, Sacramento plays a second game of a back-to-back against the Nets in Brooklyn tonight.
Hello, Brooklyn!
Of course, Cattles and Rami are going to be racking you up with all of their Beam Team hot takes right up until game night with Scott Marsh and Henry the High Flyer Turner at 3. As always, you can tap into our app and on our interactive Sacktown Sports YouTube page. And finally, happy Stone Cold Day to all who celebrate and month of madness. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Last 30 rack of the show coming at you right now. And that means only one thing here on Cattles and Rami. Go forth and light the beam, baby.
One mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
You know, I think this could be a pretty difficult game. We'll get to the Western Conference update in a minute, but pretty tough game in Brooklyn today for the Kings. Brooklyn's been playing pretty good basketball post Durant and Kyrie. You got a bunch of wings. Obviously, Mikal Bridges has been really good a number of times since those deals happened. And you know, Chris Valdez YouTube says he's got me worried. A second night of a back to back. Last time out, we embarrassed these guys. I know the roster has changed a bunch, but yeah, I mean, I think this is very difficult. I don't know how many people saw it, but I actually retweeted the G-Man's tweet about how difficult it is to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast. And when you have a back-to-back, the G-Man took a picture when he was in his hotel room last night when he first got in. And it was like 3 a.m., 20 past 3, whatever it was. And he was just making the point of you won't get in bed until about 4 a.m. tonight. So those guys played a very physical, tough game in Chicago. Again, Domas played 40 minutes yesterday. Now you go back-to-back in Brooklyn. It's going to be a very challenging game, but it's one of those games that if you are a contending team, if you're a really good team, which we know the Kings are, then you should do whatever you've got to do to try to keep this one close and see if you can pull it out in the final quarter in Brooklyn today, Rami.
I don't want to make any excuses, but I would understand if they came out a little bit flat tonight. And Nick, we were going over the schedule yesterday, and I looked all we looked at five games, but I'm a child. And I couldn't help but peek even further beyond and look at the whole schedule and go, man, there's 11, 12 wins in these last 15. This team is getting to 50. But part of what I said in there was you're not going to win every game that you're favored to win in all likelihood or that looks on paper like a win. But I think you make up for those by winning other games where maybe you were not favored to win or it was kind of a coin toss. I would understand. And again, I don't want to be negative or cushion anything or anything like that, but I would understand if even though they're a better team than Brooklyn on paper because of what you're talking about and records back it up. When you look at teams that make this cross-country travel, I don't have it in front of me, but I've looked at this before. The records back it up that it's a difficult thing to do, and especially on back-to-backs, to go out there and get W's. So I wouldn't be all that shocked or disappointed, depending on how it looked, if they came out flat and even if they ended up on the wrong side of this one. I don't know if that's too negative for some people, but I wouldn't be. It's a tough thing to do, what you're asking him to do tonight.
I'll remind you all, guests coming to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's take a look at what happened in the West last night. The Kings are back to the 2 seed in the West. The Grizzlies lost 138-119 at Miami. Miami's 26th in offensive rating, by the way. The 26th offense in the NBA scored 138 points against the Grizzlies last night. The Grizzlies gave up 20-plus points to Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero. The Grizzlies are now 13-22 on the road. Last time I checked, that's not good. Lakers lost at Houston 114-110. The Lakers did not have AD, so no AD, no LeBron. Austin Reeves played pretty well, 24-4-7. Here was Lakers head coach Darvin Ham after the game.
Energy, effort, and urgency. And I thought, you know, coming out of the gates, that kind of was non-existent. You know, I didn't see a lot of that, but I saw it on their part. Houston, young team, you know, regardless of what their record is, they came to play. And we felt them. They made us feel them in terms of them attacking the paint, them getting hits, them getting offensive rebounds, giving themselves extra possessions, and we should have been the ones playing with that type of edge. But you know, so goes the NBA. You have your ups and downs, but there is no excuses. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
Rami, LA's 34-36, 2 games under .500. They're still just 2 games back of that 6 seed.
Yep. And every time you start to believe in them, every time you start to go, Lakers might be a thing, might be a team, might be dangerous. Then they go and do something like they did last night. And I'm not saying to count them out. It's just they can't put together stretches long enough that, at least for me, I know the national media is waiting to believe in the Los Angeles Lakers and fawn over them in whatever run that they make this year. For me, they haven't put together long enough consistent stretches for me to really believe in them. Not to say they can't, but for me to really believe in them.
Last game to take a look at, Clippers-Warriors. This was kind of a bananas game. The Clippers beat Golden State 134-126. Meanwhile, Steph Curry had a 50-burger. Didn't matter. Kawhi Leonard finished with 38-5. Kawhi's been cooking. Here he was in the postgame.
I mean, yeah, tonight, you know, they made runs. You know, Golden State's going to make big runs. Great players. great mindsets on the floor. So, you know, when they come down, our Steph or Clay coming down and knock those big shots, threes, you know, two or three in a row. Like you said, we kept our composure. We stayed steady, and, you know, we came down and executed on the offensive end and made shots. And, you know, we were able to go on a run ourselves. So, you know, it was kind of like that throughout the game. I thought we did a great job of, you know, staying at it in that fourth quarter, even when they had when they were in a bonus pretty early. You know, we kept fighting. We got in a bonus, and, yeah, we made big plays.
Kawhi's been great, man. The Clippers are the fifth seed right now. They're one game up on Golden State. They're a half game back of Phoenix. They're making a charge here, and I still think they're dangerous, Rami.
Yeah, they're heating up. I'm not as worried about the Clippers as you have been, but I've been wrong before. It's rare, but I have been wrong before. You know what I mean? Happens from time to time. So maybe they are something to worry about in the postseason. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I still think Kawhi is really good, man. And, you know, if he can, he's been great lately. And he's one of those guys, I mentioned this on the show earlier in the week. Kawhi is one of those players that he can win a series on his own. And I wouldn't want to mess with him if he's playing at this high of a level right now. 916-339-1140 is the text line. Don't forget, SacktownSports.com is the website. Also, SacktownSports1140, our tremendous app. And YouTube.com/SacktownSports.
You're not
1140.
You're not just gonna go to the break without getting a magic number update, are you? While we do our Western Conference whip around, there was significant magic number movement last night. Is the drummer here? The drummer is here. Nick Cattles, the number, the magic number to clinch a playoff spot after last night is now 7. Down from 9 when we checked it yesterday.
Nice.
The magic number to take a top 4 seed and a home playoff series for your Sacramento Kings is now 8, down from 10 yesterday. And the magic number to stay the 2 seed is 15, down from 17 yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, you are most likely getting a home playoff series for your Sacramento Kings. It's down to single digits magic number to get a home court series. Nick Cattles.
Major movement, my man. Major movement.
Yes,
coming
sir.
Up, Ja speaks for the first time since his absence in an L.A. surprise.
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sacktown Sports. It's Cattles and Rami.
The replies I got yesterday cannot describe this crew any better
Very true.
Than they did. So JJ's text was, I had stuff going on. I had some family things going on. I said, all right, that fits JJ. So Simone texts us. This is legitimate. I got my hair braided yesterday. And obviously these bleeps too tight if I'm missing texts. Here was Rami's text back. I was taking a nap.
Rock on, Rami. Never change.
Cattles and Rami. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 6 on Sacktown Sports. Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Give me the loot. Give me the loot. One of my favorite songs ever. Before we get to Ja Morant, Ja spoke for the first time after all this stuff has gone down. He's been suspended by the NBA. We'll get to that in a minute. Jimmy Garoppolo's news conference, Rami, has been postponed by the Raiders. When we hear that, we automatically wonder if something's going on, the physical, what's happening. But Jeff Howe, our friend at The Athletic, is reporting that a source told him, all good. Source with knowledge of the situation says, all good. Jeff tweets out, it doesn't sound like there are any issues finalizing the deal, just a postponement. But we'll certainly keep an eye on that, given Jimmy's history.
Is that because Nick Cattles is in Vegas and they know he's the president of the Jimmy Garoppolo
right.
Haters Club? And you might
That's right.
you might crash the press conference. They're like, let's
Told
play
him to stop
it safe.
Told him to stop it. So I'm going to be in town. Stop it. Wait until I fly out.
Yeah, my initial reaction was like, not that it's necessarily something, but it's not nothing. You know what I mean? That, but if Jeff Howe says it's nothing, then I'm going to go ahead and believe Jeff Howe that it's nothing. But my initial reaction was a bit of an eyebrow raise. Like, what is this? Maybe not official. We'll see, but we'll see. Jeff Howe says
nothing. Let's get to Ja on an 8-game suspension from the NBA. Of course, the games that he has sat out already will count towards a suspension. So this is a wrist slap by the NBA. And Ja sat down with ESPN's Jalen Rose for a one-on-one interview, and here was Morant.
In the past, we didn't know what was at stake. And now, you know, finally me having that time to, you know, realize everything, have that time alone, I realize that now. I realize, you know, what I have to lose. You know, I can't wait to be back out there on the floor now, you know, knowing what my punishment is. And, you know, I accept that. And, you know, I feel like I deserve, you know, that punishment for, you know, my mistakes and, you know, what I did. But when I get back out there, you know, I'm going to be ready to go and ready, you know, push for a ring.
So he says he thinks he deserves it. He deserves the suspension. I wonder if he would have felt that okay with the suspension if it was 20 games. If he had to miss the rest of the season, would he be, I just kind of accept that it's fine.
Yeah, I do wonder that as well. Like we said yesterday, Nick, it was a slap on the wrist, and I don't even mind that it's a slap on the wrist, because my end game here is not a pound of flesh from Ja Morant. You know what I mean? I could care less what the punishment is. What I do care about is does he actually mean what he's saying there? And there's only way to find right. that out, and that's through time, and that's through his actions. Because I've been saying all along, what I want more than anything out of this is selfishly to keep watching Ja Morant play basketball and not have him off the court for whatever stupid reason he might be off the court, or not so stupid reason if he keeps heading down the road that he was headed down. But also, let's say this thing got ugly with Ja Morant, and apparently on a couple occasions it allegedly did. We tend to think about the victims in those situations, and that should be first on our mind. But for me, it's almost just as sad when you see somebody who not only could have changed their lives, but could have changed a whole lot of other lives along the way. When you have the world at your fingertips, the way that Ja Morant does, and he just throws it away. I've been saying that the whole time since this whole thing started. And he's basically saying there what I said, which is, I maybe didn't appreciate what I have here at my fingertips and what I have to potentially lose here at my fingertips, because I want to go out and act like somebody who I'm really not. You know what I mean? So it sounds like he got the message. I hope he now lives that out and really did get the message, and we get the best Ja Morant that we can get from here on out.
Now, what about that IG post where the gun was flashed? That really caused the Grizzlies to act and the NBA to act. Here was Ja on that IG post.
For you at that moment, what were you thinking, and whose gun were you holding?
I was releasing stress, and I felt like it was healthy for me, which it wasn't. And that caused me to do some things that, you know, I shouldn't have. You know, the gun wasn't mine. It's not who I am. I don't condone any type of violence. But I take, you know, full responsibility, you know, for my actions. And I can see the image, you know, that I painted, you know, over myself, you know, with my recent mistakes. But, you know, in the future, I'm going to show everybody who Ja really is.
The old third person. Look, I appreciate him admitting regret. He took responsibility for the Shotgun Willie's thing, as you just heard. He did say that as far as the other incidents that have been reported, the truth isn't out and he can't talk about it. He said that the truth is sealed. So obviously that would imply that legal proceedings are getting in the way of him sharing and being transparent about what really happened, quote unquote, according to Ja. In the 17-year-old incident where he got into a fight and then brought a gun out in his waistband, the incident with his mom at a shoe store. So he said, look, you know, I can't talk about that stuff. One final thing I'll say about this, Rami, is, you know, this was the perfect environment for Ja. It's a one-on-one with Jalen Rose, somebody who he trusts, obviously. He didn't have a bunch of questions being thrown his way from, you know, hardcore journalists and reporters. I thought he did a very good job, but this is a comfortable kind of isolated environment for him to deal with.
Sure.
So if he didn't do good here, I think you'd have major issues if you were the Grizzlies.
I will say this. Blaming waving the gun around on like dealing with stress, that's a weird excuse to me. Like that's not, yeah. You know what I mean? I have a lot of ways of blowing off some steam, Nick, and some of them aren't so healthy. I'll go ahead and admit that. But I never heard of anybody blowing off some stress by waving the gun around. I've heard of people like going to the gun range or the shooting range and popping off a few rounds to blow off some steam. I've heard of a lot of ways to deal with stress. Never dancing around with a gun on my IG. That never crossed my mind. That's never been when I've seen other people do things like that. I've never been like, oh, good for that guy blowing off some steam, dealing with some stress. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what Ja was doing at the time. What I think he was doing is he's trying to look tough. He's trying to look hard. And that goes back to all these incidents that allegedly Ja was involved in, from the mall security guard to the kid in his driveway to the his entourage allegedly pointing a laser beam, which may or may not have been attached to a weapon at the Pacers team vehicle. The dude is trying to live a lifestyle of being a tough guy. And that's what waving the gun around. I'm not buying the I was dealing with stress and that's why I was showing off my gun on my Instagram. That's just a bad look, and that's why he doesn't want to say that.
Yeah, it's a very, very weird situation. I'm going to actually let you do the goodbyes today because I don't know if I can hear the music when it plays.
The music is playing.
I know we're up against it here.
The music is playing.
Here. I know.
Great job, got, Simone. Great job, JJ. Nick. You were all right. I was awesome. Thanks to everybody for listening. Game night is up next. Getting you ready.
I'm going to go to Vegas.
For Kings and Nets. Next, right here on your home for Sacramento Kings basketball, Sactown Sports, sactownsports.com, and check us out on YouTube. Now hurry, go on to the altar. I know you ain't a... But remember what I taught you. Keep your heart three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part. Play your part.
The only place you'll find Harrison Barnes is Sactown Sports.
He's got the bucket at the buzzer. Harrison Barnes.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Harrison Barnes, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.